at the book of Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And verse 3 describes his possession: 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And at the end of it, he said, "And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East." That's describing his wealth, how influential he was in the society. Now, he described in verse 4 that his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. They were grown men. They were not children, actually. All right, you notice that. And they will send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. It came about when the days of feasting, all right, had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my son have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Now he said, thus Job did continually. Now in verse 6, the story that we all know about concerning Satan's visit before the throne of God commences. It said, Satan came amongst the sons of God. I'm summarizing verse 6. And the Lord said to him, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The summary of it, I don't want to spend all the time reading, is that God now describes to Job, to Satan, the life of Job. And Satan explained that God had put a hedge around him. And because of the hedge that was about him, the man was blessed. Let's just read verse 10. He said, "Has thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Then you know what happened after. But the things I want to note, I think we'll highlight them from where we have read so far. Let's quickly go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read it. I'm talking about Christian warfare. And the reason why I'm doing this teaching is for us to understand what real warfare is. A lot of us were not around last time. We all went home for Easter. But that's not my fault. Amen. Therefore, I will not repeat everything we taught. Go and get the CDs. Is that okay? But if you were around last time, you see what I explained. Okay? And let me just summarize in a few words. Is that one of the reasons why I'm doing this thing is that people have misunderstood the warfare they are supposed to be engaged in. I'm sorry to say this, and I don't want to sound like holier than thou, Mr. Know-all, I know what nobody else knows. I may sound like that, it's unfortunate. But actually, the fact is that there are so many ignoramuses out there, all right? That all you need to do is think a bit, read the Bible a bit, and you'll be a spiritual genius. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Mike Murdock will say, there are so many people don't think that if you do a bit of thinking, you appear like a genius. I'm adapting that. There are so many people don't read their Bible. They don't know where something is added from. They just echo what somebody else is doing. I remember a story. I read one man of God. He said they called him to come. A young man preacher was called to come and pray for somebody. And listen to this. It wasn't a bad thing he did, but I just want to explain something. That he said when he got there, he did what he has seen everybody else do. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what a lot of people do in what they call ministry. They just go and do what they have seen everybody else do. They don't know why it's done. They don't know how it works. You remember the story of the sons of Sceva who wanted to cast out demons. They wanted to use the same principles that Paul used. Why Paul used that method, they don't know. How it works, they have no idea. They just caught a man that was, demon-possessed and pounced upon him. Said, "Let me tell you something. There is a name that Paul uses. We borrowed it." And then the demon said, "Is that so? It's not everybody that uses the name. Number one, you that are showing up, I have to know you." And do you understand what I'm saying? Since you have no weight, you have no righteousness on your side, there's nothing to make me afraid of you. The demon pounced upon them and dealt very seriously with them. And a lot of people are doing that concerning ministry and stuff. We just go and repeat what we have heard everybody else say. Do you understand what I mean? We don't know the real reason why those things are done. And, you know, and we'll keep on propagating. I don't want to go into controversies, but there are so many doctrines that are propagated. All right? Ask somebody why he's saying this thing is the correct thing. He has no idea. All he knows is that he can quote there are 3 men of God that says the same thing. And that's far as he's concerned, that's all that matters. Alright? No, that's what, concerning this Christian warfare thing, I want to get a few points across to us. There is what is true Christian warfare. Let's not get carried away. And you know, let me tell you something about the human nature. We like to do things that look like we are doing something. I don't know whether you follow what I'm trying to say. The hardest thing for us to do in life is to rest and let God work. That is the hardest thing for a human being to do. And you will see as we go on that what God actually demands is that we learn how to keep our stand. Do you follow my point? Having done all to do what? Stand. Human beings don't like that. This is very, very difficult. Do you understand? We want to be able to tell stories. That, do you know how my turnaround came? It was because I got up and I did this. And I began to pray and I began to fast. And when I finished fasting and praying, I now gave a dangerous offering. And when I did that, at the end of the day, you have collected all the glory. That is, it is you that did everything. And everything that you have experienced is based on what you are doing. Let me tell you the one that God really gets glory from. What did you do? He said, oh boy, all I did was I went and begged God, and he answered me. What happened? One day I was somewhere and somebody preached and I found out that my thoughts were not in agreement with God's thoughts. So I went home and I repented of my ways. I agreed with God and God began to move. Don't ever forget these words. Say, I became a lucky man or a lucky woman. Listen, you'll be blessed in life. Watch it. You will be lucky. Listen, and luck is not a chance thing. When we say luck, it just means that God is now ready to bless you. So he began to show you favor. So people that you did not know before, that you couldn't consciously connect with, decided to do good for you. That's what it means. Do you follow my point? Now, why did I say that? So when we're talking about winning our wars in life, let's say against Satan, we like to say, we think, the flesh likes it. I got up and I began to pray. And I prayed all night. You know the way we like to do some of us these days? We like to physically box the devil. One day I saw, I think I saw one and someone described it to me. People who they grip the devil in an arm lock, you know. You put the devil like this and then you are pointing his head. Amen. In Jesus' name, I box you. My friend said he went somewhere one day and he saw one man. Whether he went there or somebody told him the story. His film he watched. Do you understand my point? He now said he's shooting the devil. He carried a gun and was moving back. And he's praying. He's shooting the devil. Aren't nonsense. Absolute rubbish. Look, some things they vex me. Let me tell you. Say he's shooting the devil. Shooting him from where to where. And ignoramuses who don't know what's going on, they see that and they think it's the key to breakthrough. Next time they have problems, they paint a picture of one black creature with horns on his head on the wall and start shooting it. Listen, the real Satan worrying you is a very beautiful girl. Let me tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. The real Satan that is disturbing one of the people that are praying. Very handsome man. The guy you're drawing on the wall, the real Satan doesn't look like that. The real Satan is so beautiful. God had to warn people to be careful that he appears like an angel of light. Many people who have seen visions and said that somebody appeared to me and told me this. You hear the doctrine, you know it's devil that appeared. No matter how radiant the fellow looked, you can have a halo on your head or wear shining cloth. It makes no difference. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're talking about real warfare. Let's understand it. The last time I was going to refer to something I said last time. I explained to people that the real thing Satan is gunning for. People don't get the point. As you are fighting him, he's very happy. He has taken hold of your faith. You know, remember what I said? When you are protecting your house against a thief, you know what he's looking for. So that's why you keep your jewelry in all kinds of strange places. I've heard stories of people who built beautiful safes, you know, strong vaults in their homes, but didn't keep the valuable there. They kept under the bed. Knowing that once you see the vault, you'll be there trying to break it. Meanwhile, the real valuable is just lying down in one pillow, just beside the vault. You will never think about it that diamonds worth over $10 million is lying in a piece of cloth. It won't cross your mind. Why? Because the man knows what you are looking for. So he puts the vault there to distract you. He knows you didn't come to break his wall. You came to take his valuable. And that's why we must understand, when we're talking about warfare as Christians, ask yourself first, what is the devil trying to steal? We say the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What really is he trying to steal? You think it's your car? Arrant nonsense. Your car? Arrant crap. The devil is not stupid enough that car will be a project. The house you built? He's not an idiot. He knows the way these things work. He knows that God can give you 10,000 cars and 50,000 houses at a go. It's not an issue. The one that God cannot force on you by force is the one he's going for. Your faith. Jesus looked at Peter. He said, "Ah, Simon, Simon. Ye beleo, Simon, Simon. Trouble ahead, Simon. Ye, ah, should I cry for you? What should I do? Simon, there's war. What is the war? Satan has desired to sift you all of you, like wheat. But, you know, this is a hard job. So, Simon, Peter, you are going to help me here. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren, every one of them. That's the job I have for you. That Satan is not... Look, the card that Satan took from you, it was a way of getting to your faith. When Satan took the goods of Job, it wasn't the goods he was looking for. It was the faith of Job. When he killed the adult children of Job, it was not the children he was gunning for. It was the faith of Job. So in all the battle, what Job had to keep very clean was what? His faith. That's why we're doing this series. So that Christians will know what to really fight for. Listen, all your adversities in life. You know, sometimes I wonder whether I'm not sounding like a broken down record. I'm preaching the same thing again and again. But brethren must hear it. Do you understand my point? Because every day they go out, a lot of pressures in life and wrong doctrines are being fed to them daily. Therefore, we have to keep telling the truth. Oh, listen to me. All the pressures of life are allowed to test your faith and to develop your faith, period. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't joke. He may enjoy humor, but every word he says, even if he's joking, they really, really mean exactly what he's saying. Do you get the point I'm making? When he says, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed? He said, your heavenly Father knows you know these things. That's why it's only Gentiles are the ones looking after them. This is where I'm going. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. That was not a joke. You know what it means literally? If you allow God to do his work in your life, there is nothing you will ever desire that you will not get. Listen, when we finish this one, I want to talk about how to have power with God. That's the next series I'm doing. I've already written it down. We're going to discuss that. How to have power with God. Oh, God, I'm going ahead of myself, but I just can't. I feel like saying it is sweet. It's sweet to my soul. I should say it. What am I going to explain? For those of you who were there then, when we did the School of Bible Exegesis, we began to analyze what I called at the beginning, those when we just discussed about the revelations of God. How many of you were here then? Very few people. All right? Very few. When we talk about the revelations of God, I talked about what it meant to have equality with God. And that when Jesus raised Lazarus, I've even understood it more now than I did then. When Jesus raised Lazarus, it was almost like a show off. I don't know whether you get my point. It was almost like a show off to let the people know that he could do it. If you go and read the context, I will discuss, I won't finish this series. I'm going to talk about how to have power with God. It was almost as if it was showing off. He said, Lazarus is sick. He said, let him die first. No, that was what he said in effect. He said, this sickness is not supposed to end in death, but why not? let's manifest ourselves in this thing. He raised Lazarus simply by asking for Lazarus back. And before he got to the grave, he asked the Lord, I want Lazarus back. And the Lord said, is that so? He said, yes. Fine. So when he got to the grave, he said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And the only reason why I'm shouting like this is because I want all of them to know that you sent me. Do you follow my point? It was almost like a show off. Now, I'm bringing out something. Can you remember Moses? Let me tell you something. This is the way life is. Kingsley, you were the one I was telling. That I discovered. We tell all kinds of stories about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I discovered the most important thing that thing did was to give him power to make intercession before God. Go and read through the scriptures. You will discover that God does things because of people. He said, let's go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's first stop by. and see what Abraham has to say about it. And Abraham reasoned. And because of the restraining power of the Spirit upon him, according to Oswald Chambers, he stopped at number 10. He said, if you find 10 people in those two big cities, will you still smoke the place? And God said, no. That is, if Abraham says 10, then it is 10. The judgment of God was being controlled by the opinion of Abraham. Do you follow the point I'm making? When God decided he wanted to kill the whole of the nation of Israel, God doesn't make mistakes, all right? He still killed them eventually, but this is the point. The day he wanted to do it, Moses stood and said, you have to pass through me to get to them. And God said, fine, let them live. I don't know, you know, I'm putting in modern day terms. The idea was that you cannot destroy them except I move out of the way. Do you follow the point I'm making? I'm bringing out something here, that there's a level you get to in life. You know what Jesus said? Even when they were heading, oh God, listen to this, they were heading for the cross. He had prayed and prayed until he was able to receive and go through the cross. Yet he told Peter, come. Did he ever cross your mind? Or have you forgotten the kind of person that I am? That if I wanted 12 legions of angels, all I need to do is ask the Father. So if I didn't ask, it's because I didn't want to ask. Do you get the point I'm making? I am saying the troubles, I've not forgotten myself from all the troubles of your life, all the trials of your life were given to you so that you will get to a point in life you will be able to decree a thing and it is established. Please, another assignment which I gave you before, I want to give you again. Go and read that tract, Are We All Equal Before God? That's why Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How do I get to that point? I first go through the fellowship of his sufferings and become conformed unto his death. That is when I attain to the power of the resurrection from the dead. He wasn't talking about maybe one day, me too, I will rise up from the dead. Even the wicked are going to rise up one day. Utes, you know now, they will rise up before for judgment. Right or wrong? Yes, they are going to rise up for judgment one day. So when he was talking about attaining resurrection from the dead, he was talking about the power of his resurrection. Do you follow my point? That is a way I go through life, I get to a point where that power is visibly manifested in my life. Listen, that's a precious thing. That's what we discussed. Then we said going for the gold. Do you follow? Going for the gold. That is when we reach that point, every other thing is added. And Satan knows. Let me tell you something. Jesus told the parable that if a man sees treasure in the ground, what does he do? He goes home, sells all that he has, buys it. That is, if we understand the treasure that is in Christ's likeness, we'll gladly give up all that we have. He said, fear not, little children, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, he says, sell all that you have, give to the poor. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm talking about true warfare. Forget it, warfare is not about your car, your house, your business, your money. That's not what warfare is about. Warfare is about your faith. Don't ever forget this thing I've been saying for some weeks now. Every trouble in life is designed as a distraction. Satan designed every trouble in life. When you are broke, get what I'm trying to say. God is testing your faith and is proving your faith. But everything that Satan is doing in your life is trying to distract you. Do you follow the point I'm making? I don't know whether this story will help you a bit to understand what I'm saying. And that's why in life you just have to go ahead, focus, avoid distractions as much as you can, and focus on the main thing that you have to do. This may make you laugh. Very funny illustration. But do you know when we desired to begin to record our videos and get ready to put them on TV? It was a long time ago. Now, many things held us back. But one major reason why we held back was because the roof of this building was leaking. So if it will rain, we'll have troubles. We made a lot of noise. Eventually, they patched it here and there, and then it was still leaking. So one day, I said, okay, forget about the roof. Let it leak. Good enough. At that point, one brother came and said that the place was looking very nasty. It wasn't because we didn't have money to paint it, but just because I was waiting for them to finish fixing the road, and we'll now start nicing the place up. So the brother came, was just a good sign itself, that please, I would like to paint the place. How much will it cost? So I called the person who does such things for me. I will give him the cost, and he gave us the money for it. So we went ahead, painted the place. After that, we made this our platform. Started doing our backdrop. So what about the leaking roof? I remember the one day Akuna asked me, I said, I really don't care about it. Has it stopped leaking? I said, it hasn't. If it rains heavily now, it will leak, as we are sitting down here. I said, you know what's going to happen? I will just perch, wait for the rain to stop. I continue my message. But that I will not preach it, forget it. Remove the roof, I will preach. I don't know whether you are getting that illustration. So they fixed the roof. I said, not yet. It's still leaking. Israel, wasn't it the other day, well, a few days ago, we were trying to do something here, and water was dripping from this light. Let it drip. But I will not preach, you are joking. With our leaking roof, we're on TV already. You know, you know, radio is very different. And paper, I remember those tracks, these are our tracks then. One man, he read it, and he said, how is Pastor Banky? I said, Pastor Banky is fine. It's my work in the same office, one of our staff. And he will come home, he come back to work and tell me that he now uses these our tracks for morning devotion at home. That the whole family will gather and they will read it and they will discuss it and then they will use it to pray. That Pastor Banky has really been a blessing to his life. I said, very good. So how is he? I said, he's fine. The guy didn't know for months that he was talking to Pastor Banky. I don't even know when he found out or whether he has found out. If he hasn't found out by now, I'm talking about years and work in the same establishment. But TV, this first day I went to work. Oga, I saw you. Doc, I was watching you yesterday. I entered our departmental secretary, what they call the general office, where the secretaries and other clerical staff sit. As soon as I entered, all of them looked at me. I finished what I wanted to do there. I was about to leave. They said, okay, we were watching you on TV yesterday. You know, it's everywhere now, you know. I said, I'm going to buy dark bones. Maybe wear torn jeans and all of that. You know why? So they will say, it's not him. It cannot be him. I will give them George Clooney's style. How many of you have seen that part of George Clooney? He said, are you Mr. Clooney? He said, no, you must be mistaken. Thank you very much. And they walk away. Now, actually, where I'm getting to is the fact that, listen, leaking roof, you are not going to stop me. Do you follow? See, the rain cannot rain persistently. It will stop. When it stops, I continue preaching. You are getting what I'm saying? That's what it is in life. The real warfare, that's what I'm saying. The real warfare is for your faith. It's for your dedication to God. Unfortunately, Satan allows people or convinces people to focus on him as the trouble. I am the trouble. Pray about me. Fight me. It's your money. Your money. So the guy starts saying, hey, my money. In Jesus' name, is do all night against the money. Listen, sometimes you look. Oh God. There are times you just take the money and throw the money away. I won't chase you. You think, look, listen, I won't. I won't chase you. I will hold on to my faith. I know I went into all of that thing that I was saying about equality with God and all of that. For you to know that there's a point to get to. All right? Listen, let me tell you something about Christ Jesus. I'll come back to this discussion later. I want to get to that matter of how to have power with God. Everything you see in his life is attainable if you walk with God enough. Listen, you will actually get to a point in life. Satan will know that you can turn stones to bread. I know what I'm saying. That Paul said the whole of his life, that's what he was gunning for. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll discuss this when we get there. You know, a point in your life will come in which, if one of my friends the other day was talking, he said he has lent, a senior person to me. He said he has lent. He was telling me that, Banky, I listened to a lot of your messages, all those CDs that time. I'll just sit down and be listening to them. He said, now my faith is so strong that, look, nothing can worry me again. He said the other day we traveled, I was in a car. And I was telling them that, look, I don't worry anymore. No trouble can disturb me. He said, in fact, if I want this car to stop, now all I need to tell the car to do is stop. Do you know, as soon as he finished saying it, the engine quenched. He was telling me, he said, he just finished saying it. The next thing that the engine of the car just quenched. And the car stopped. The guy driving, manipulated inside the car again. The car started and they kept on going. as if to confirm what he had said. Even he that said it, he was kind of surprised because I know we have not said it yet. I was just saying that. Sometimes God does that. Do you follow? To teach us something that this thing we are talking about is real. Do you follow what I mean? That is, listen, it's not about discussing about Satan, take your hand off my food, take your hand off my clothes. No, that's not the main warfare of the believer. The primary warfare is for what? Your faith. It's for your faith. Now, I have a number of points I want to make today, all right? I'm just kind of introducing and reviewing many of the things that we have said, and while we have to discuss this thing in details, we cannot afford the distraction that, listen to what I want to say, we can't afford the distraction that churchianity has become to us. I wanted to say Christianity, but I changed the word to churchianity. The time you should spend in, number one, in sleeping. You know, sleep is very important. That's why they tell me that, you've heard me say it a number of times. He said, your enemies are not sleeping. Why are you sleeping? I said, he's a sinner, I'm not a sinner. That's why he's not sleeping. The people who say it, what they are trying to say is that you should get up. When the enemy is busy, you too should be busy. No, I don't agree. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when only wicked people keep awake. I'm supposed to sleep. Say, the witches are not sleeping. Says, because he's a witch. He's a wicked soul. Why can't he sleep? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I should sleep. My favorite quote in that regard is Psalms. David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of hard labors or sorrows. He said, because he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. I should sleep. I hope you're following what I'm saying. You won't give me a job because you are a wicked soul. So they are offering sacrifices against you at all the corners of the junctions around your area. The dogs just found food. Stray dogs just found food, because that sacrifice, that's all the power it has to feed stray dogs and the crazy men on the streets. You can't offer it from now till tomorrow. Today I want to talk a bit, all right? One thing I want to say is about spiritual authority, the structure in the spiritual realm. Satan is not an idiot. He knows people he runs after. And you know, he came. God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, Lord, I stopped considering him long ago. I'm bringing that an issue. You are a child of God. All right? You walk with God. The person making the sacrifice against you. The devil is offering to. Even the devil knows that it's a waste of time. And you will see the reason in a moment. There's a reason why I read the story of Job. But let's quickly read that Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll explain these things further. Jesus didn't die in vain. The Bible says that he came to liberate those who were held in bondage all their lives by the fear of death. And if you have believed in Christ Jesus, listen to me, you have been liberated. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I said you have been liberated. Amen. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. Listen, Oh God, there are many things I have to say. Let me just read the scripture and then I'll say them. Because there are two kinds of warfare. The second kind of warfare where I'm talking about, I'll talk about both of them briefly. One we have been on. The second kind of Christian warfare, all right, is actually what liberates everybody out of darkness into light. And if we as Christians cannot walk in the light that God is shining upon us in Christ Jesus, what do we want the nation to do? What do we want the world to do? What do we want everybody else to do? No, there's something I'm trying to say there. I told that some of this gospel I'm preaching, I don't know how God led me into it, but he knows that it's almost with reluctance that I'm preaching it. I hate using the word witch in my messages. I am nonsense. I think, do you get me? It embarrasses me. I feel like the Iboma will look at me and say, this guy is still living in those days. And I don't mean there are no witches. And do you understand my point? That's not what I mean. What I mean is that the way, look, light has come in Christ Jesus. It has made some things inconsequential and unnecessary for discussion. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Yes, it has. The Christian warfare is not centered on who's my enemy. The Bible says it clearly, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Even the devil that we supposedly are fighting against, we have to understand our fight is not, let us overcome him. He has been overcome. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He has been overcome. Go and read that Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, I was beholding and I saw Satan fall like lightning. He has been overcome. The Bible says clearly, go and read Colossians chapter 1. He said, we have been delivered out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He has been overcome. Do you get what I'm saying? Indeed, he has been overcome. So, our fight with those Satan with those agents of Satan, it's not so that we can overcome them. It's that we can keep our faith. We'll read that, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's quickly read it. From verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Please, when we began this series, the thing we discussed about that first time is schemes. Notice this, we are not standing against the personality of the devil. We are not standing against the strength of the devil. What are we standing against? The schemes, the tricks, the distractions of life that tries to bait us away from the center of our faith. I don't want to go over that again. We discussed it before. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We've discussed that. It's not your neighbor that's your enemy. There's no person in the village that's troubling you. You know the reason? One, some of them can't. And the Lord said, the witches are, she confessed. I said, oh, you're not around last time. We discussed this thing. Those who are around are laughing. He said, I've seen a witch confess before. Go carry that woman to the psychiatrist. Why should a witch confess for you? Why? They said it was because of a powerful person who tortured her all night. When a policeman grabs you, you will confess. You don't need to be an exorcist as a policeman to grab a suspect. He will confess. Do you follow the point I'm making? A lot of the so-called confessions are confessions of mad people. People who have mental problems. If that's how powerful you are, how come you have not used this power to bless yourself? But let's not go over that. We've discussed that one before. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. These are demonic forces. Against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Don't forget, we are standing against their schemes. What are we standing against? Their schemes. He said, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Now, again, I want to emphasize that verse 13 again. I said earlier, I need to say it again. What Satan is gunning after, if a thief is coming to your house, you have to know the kind of thing that thieves love. All right? That's why you put all kinds of gadgets in your car, tracking system, because you know the thief wants to carry the car. What is Satan gunning for? We said it is our faith. What do I mean? Let's take a few examples again. Job, first example, who we just read about. Job suffered all he suffered, all right, as part of the schemes of the devil to have him deny God. Can you remember that? What I'm saying, is it true or false? It's true. When Daniel was being threatened with the lion's den, what was being gone after? What was it that they were going after? His faith. This man must not pray to his God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right, were being tried, the same thing. Come and bow to another God that's not the true God. That's the way it is all the time. Everything they are doing is going after their faith. Do you follow the point? Now, what I really want to explain today is why Satan does that. Let me say this to you. I've said it many times. Satan doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. He doesn't even hang in the dark. The people are afraid of the dark. And because of devil, all those ones you see is film. You know what I mean by film? It's movie. When you close the door, the evil spirit will appear. Believe me, no evil spirit appears because you close the door. After the, look, let me say it again. a lot of the big men in town who are going praying against evil spirits, when the evil spirit appears, they hug the evil spirit. They spend all night praying against the evil spirit. Oh. But when she comes, chief, good afternoon. Yeah, my baby, how are you? You don't know, that is the Satan. The reason why his life is not going straight is that girl. He doesn't know. But if that, look, I said it before. Any prophet that offers you deliverance without making any demand of you, on you concerning righteousness is a false prophet. Any prophet that closes his eyes to your iniquity, do you understand? And is offering you deliverance is a liar. He will pray against the evil spirits that are not disturbing you. The very one that will kill you, he won't say anything about it because he knows you don't want to hear it. What I'm saying is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Let me tell you something about, look, let me say sits on the life of the believer. I said I'm going to talk about spiritual authority. Let me tell you about the word righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness delivers from death. I've explained something to us in previous teachings. That righteousness is not just God's stamp of approval. That's God's, it is. But it's actually more than just the fact that God says you are okay. It's actually a powerful force. There's nothing that's an accident in life. Nothing. Nothing. They fired the shot, the thieves were shooting, and then you were there. Somebody fell in front of you, one fell behind you. You were not hit. Do you know why? You were not destined for death. It was not a matter of chance. My favorite example is always Ahab. How did Ahab die? Ahab was destined for death. God said, somebody please entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead. I want to kill him there. Yet the person who killed Ahab did not know forever that he killed Ahab. Just shot at random and hit somebody who was destined for death. I'm bringing out something. All the times they tried to kill Jesus and they couldn't, it was because they really indeed could not. It was not time for him to die. He said it is forbidden that a prophet should die outside Jerusalem. They couldn't. Something will just happen and you will just be delivered. Life is not a matter of chance. If he had not gone out that day, when I told him not to go out, he had to go out. He had an appointment with death. He had to go out. You couldn't stop him. But eventually you were so powerful, you stopped him. The roof will fall on his head. The reason why he went out was so that that house didn't have to collapse. Do you get the point I'm making? Hear it clear. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, they say, that driver was just driving anyhow. He was just driving anyhow. The tire come bust, see, the man don't die now. Useless driver. Listen, it's not the driver that killed him. I'm not saying reckless driving is good. One of my friends, who was not destined for death, told me a story once. Several times like that, things like that happen to him and the men that he covers, because there's something about the power of your own covering over the people that are under you. You see that Job, his sons were grown. But because he constantly made, he constantly made sacrifices. He was offering and making intercessions for those children before God. My friend, he was a farm rep then, in charge of the north for a major pharmaceutical company in Nigeria. He said one day he entered the sky, he was about to travel. Then something in him did not go. He has learned not to worry himself. He just got up, he came down, parked the car, slept overnight that day in Maiduguri. Next day he would drive and move. Then next morning, the news. Everybody that traveled that day ran into these crazy bands that come from across the border and start shooting discriminately because they want to rob people. God knew that was going to happen. He said, but this one is not destined for death. As he entered his car to move, he said no. And it's not as if God said, my son, that shall not travel. Inside him, he just did not feel like traveling. Remember these things are true. Remember the plane crash? The one in which Pastor Bimbo Odukoya died. Listen, learn to read in between the lines. I'm not discussing why she died, though, but I want to tell you something. They were already seated on the plane. When God said, no, some people here are not destined for death. So what do? Move government officials. There are some of them who are criminals I want to kill. And they moved a lot of them. We should do the round. We siren, rush to the airport. Stop the plane from taking off. They evacuated everybody on the plane that those guys might enter. But they were now moving people back inside. Of course, a few people were not able to go in. So they lost their seats and they were angry. What kind of thing is this? One woman was so angry, she forced herself into the plane. She died. The young man telling the story was one of those that lost his seat. That same friend of mine was in Abuja that day. They had a conference. They finished the day before. He said, he just called all his men, his workers, the pharmacists that came from Port Harcourt area. He told them, all of you go back today. He just insisted. He said, all of you go back today. I don't want to hear you did not get to Port Harcourt today. I don't want anybody traveling tomorrow. So all of them grudgingly rushed down, took the plane, and left. That was why none of them was on the flight that took off the next day. There's no accident in life. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. What is righteousness? Righteousness is not just good works. Let's start from there. Righteousness is approved works. Did you hear what I said? Approved. That God says, good, correct. That is, the opinion of God is what makes something righteous. That is why the Bible can say that somebody believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's the opinion of God concerning what you are doing that makes it righteousness or otherwise. So righteousness is not just about good works, but what? The approval of God. Approved works is what is righteousness. I say I'm talking about spiritual authority. The Bible says that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked, for their role in the day of destruction. Satan is one that has a purpose. God uses him for the days of destruction. And let me say this to you again. He cannot destroy him or her that God has not approved that he should destroy. Let's get this thing very clear. When Jeremiah was prophesying, he saw the angel. They were about to go for destruction. The angel said, wait. No, God said, wait. First, the first angel that will go, let him go and mark the heads of those who sigh and groan because of the iniquity that is in the land. That is, not only are they not participating, it is hurting their souls. That will tell you something. One of the reasons, because spiritual things are interesting, they interconnect. I like science because nothing explains spiritual things like science. Scientific laws interconnect. That's how they, in fact, Albert Einstein was working on the general theory of relativity. There's a reason I'm saying so. How did Lot live alive? The intercession of whom? Abraham. But do you know the Bible also said that his soul was being hurt every day because of the iniquity that was in Sodom and Gomorrah? That is, again, it's the same principle. God said, take an angel, go in there. First, go and mark those that must not be destroyed. And he marks the house of Lot. Please, I'm coming to something here. Satan, he knows his level. The devil knows his level. He doesn't jump on anybody he likes the way he likes it. But there are those, the Bible said, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, of the wicked one. Say, Pastor Mike, what does that mean? I'll tell you simply. It means there is a spirit of the age. Go and read the Revelations. You talk about the harlot that was mixing wine and giving people to drink. Be careful what you approve of. Be careful what you participate in. Do you understand my point? Listen, what Satan tries to do is to have all of us drink of the spirit of the age. Listen, there are many things in life. You just make up your mind. All your friends are doing it one way. Once they are not believers, or at least serious believers, disagree. You know, there are times you just disagree with people for the sake of disagreeing with them, so that God will know you are not drinking of the same spirit. They say a young man cannot marry until he has bought a car, even though you have money, refuse to buy one. Just refuse. Refuse. Just refuse. Just to prove to them you refuse. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's the spirit that matters, actually. Yeah? But I'm trying to bring out something. Now, sometimes, you know, some of my friends, we joke and we say things. Like, you know, as a pastor, when you are saying it, I assume you are joking. As a pastor, there's a kind of car you will drive. There's a kind of place you walk. There's a kind of place you don't go. Around to rubbish. Listen, if it's just about status and prestige, now you are on TV, everybody will listen. The only reason why you won't find me rushing through a gate in the market, I will still go if necessary. Yeah, if the greeting is getting too much. Do you understand my point? Yes, I may just restrain myself. Yeah, but listen, believe me, I'm not a big man. I reject the title big man in Jesus' name. You know, I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I reject it. A big man. I'm a servant of God. Do you understand my point? Yes, I'm just a believer. I'm another person. My big manness is only in Christ Jesus, which applies to every one of God's children. I'm talking about drinking of the spirit of the age. You have to be careful. People living for themselves alone, lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. Be careful that you're not a lover of yourself. Because listen, there are times you hear, look, something happened, well, I won't tell you details, but a few days ago, we're chatting somewhere in a place, and something hit me. That actually most people are lovers of themselves. You see, all this running up and down, a lot of people do. Not all they are trying to do. They want to build a house. When they finish, they want to buy a bigger car. When they finish, they want to buy another house. They run up and down, then they want to send their children to this kind of school. At the end of the day, from beginning to the end, the man is a lover of himself and not a lover of God. You know, I've said it before several times. You know one of the reasons why some pastors preach the kind of message they preach about money? Because the people love themselves so much that they say, okay, I will show you. I will collect this thing by force from you. So you know what I'm going to do? I will tell you that this is the way you can love yourself some more. And of course, they all fall for it. The truth is that, listen, if we are, look, believers, children of God, if we indeed live not for ourselves, but for him that died for our sakes and rose again on for our righteousness, you'll be amazed at what we can achieve for God on the earth. There's a spirit of the age. I'm coming to something. It's everyone who drinks of that spirit of the age that's under the power of the evil one. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me tell you the truth. There are people that Satan actually knocks their head for breakfast, kicks their butt for lunch, and gives them sliding tackle for supper. He has them, that is, he's theirs to do as he wishes. Yes, Satan, you know, all Satan tries to do is to bait people into the position where he can control them. And believe me, the whole world, the Bible says, lies under the power of the evil one. That's why, listen, let's preach the correct message. This is the reason why people need to be saved, just to get out from the control of the devil. And this is why even Christians have to be careful that they don't drink of the spirit of the age, because that is how Satan controls their lives. Believe me what I'm saying. Listen, if indeed you have given your life to Christ and you have renounced the spirit of the age, let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 2, quickly. From verse 1. In chapter 1, it describes Jesus Christ and the riches of his glory and all of that. In that same chapter, in verse 1, chapter 2, it said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." You're not talking about the spirit of the age. Are you saying it? Literally, he said, according to the age, this age. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, I can't leave this thing alone. This scripture, I'm going further down, but let me just explain this thing again. If you look at the line by line, he said, this is how unbelievers walk. They walk according to the age, this age, or the course of this world, the pattern of this world. They walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Now listen, you will see, when we're reading that Ephesians chapter 6, it said our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Can you see that here? The prince of the power of the air. What's the prince of the power of the air doing? Have you noticed it? It's teaching people how to walk. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me explain. The world is in financial crisis. It's the central stage of discussion on CNN. I used to like watching it. I'm getting tired of it. Maybe I'm getting tired because I have learned the lesson I want to learn from it. The summary of it is that this, even Alan Greenspan said it. This was all born of greed. Do you hear what I said? Greed. In real terms, when God wants to send calamity upon people, you will see the origin of it. What I mean is that you will see there was an earthquake. You will see a hurricane. You will see wars. You will see physical destruction happen. But in the world today, did you see anything like that? Nothing happened. Fuel did not dry up. The wind didn't stop blowing. There were no earthquakes, serious earthquakes to level many places. There were no wars that would say that this is the cause of all of these things. Nothing. There was no physical destruction of real wealth. You know what I mean? Material wealth. Buildings being burnt and destroyed. You know, cars being destroyed. Physical money being burnt and lost. Nothing like that. So what's inside all of this? I'll tell you. The spirit of the age, the prince of the power of the age, he told the people, steal, become covetous. Listen, that's why with this spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies, and I'm already plotting for seeds two, that is the strategies, second one. Because the fact about life, all right, is that most of the methods used for things on earth are decided, dictated by the prince of the power of the air. Do you get what I'm saying? No, really. That's what Satan does. Let's get the point. These Satan people are fighting day and night. They are actually going to dinner with him every day. They don't understand. The guy does his business. Does everything the way Satan said do it. Then he's fighting the devil. No, listen, the devil must. I'm sure he laughs every day. You cross his leg. Once they start praying, he starts laughing. Believe me, a lot of prayers are comedy for Satan. Comedy. He say, Agbako. Agbako will say, yes, sir. Come. Inwe will appear. I'm using Yoruba words that we used to use as children for demons and stuff like that. Let us go for entertainment. They carry all the demons. And they go outside one church. Say, put your microphone inside. Let us start laughing. Satan, out of my life. Is that Agbako? Did you hear that? That girl is telling us to go where? He said, do you have your GSM there? He said, yes, I have it. Call them. They will pick her after church. You will see that she doesn't mean the prayer. And the whole hordes of hell will start laughing. And the businessman will say, today, Jesus will answer me. All my wealth, all my enemies, everything that Satan has stolen, I collect it back. And the whole hordes of hell will start laughing again. He said, look at that thief. The thief that believes in borrowing and not paying back. The thief that was counseling his friend the other day, that if you want your staff to stay and not go, make sure you are owing them 3 months salary. Look at the thief. The thief that quotes 4 jobs, all right? He's about to supply genuine parts. They approve the money for genuine ones and he supplied the fake ones. Look at him saying, oh, we should get out of his life. All the hordes of hell, they will laugh. The prince of the power of the air will say, you see, we are walking. We have them in our control. Let them pray all they want to pray. They ain't going anywhere. They will look towards heaven and say, about God, I lie. God will say, I know. Now, why are you rubbing it in? He said, Pastor Man, what do you mean? It's not the Bible. Have you considered my servant Job? God and Satan, they talk about you. They talk about people. Prince of the power of the air. God will say, that one. No, Satan will look at God and say, that one is my own. But God said, just wait. Let's look for intercessors. Because for people like that, the only thing is people who love them, who are praying for them. And those ones, now the only thing your prayer can do is bring keep them alive so that they will hear the word of repentance. That's what I'm talking about, real Christian warfare. Look at that one. It said, in the man, there was a manner we walked according to this age, the spirit of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is the interesting part. That Satan is the one teaching them how to do business. So, if you're a businessman, please go and get our seed CD. Now, the point I'm making is that we are discussing divine thoughts for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises. God has thoughts. God has ideas. There's the way he wants things done, which are different, all right? His ways are different from the way of the power of the air. But let's just continue. He said, and this spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Christians and non-Christians alike, that is, the ones that refuse to walk in the obedience to the will of God. In verse 3, it says, amongst them, we too all formerly, please, everybody use the word formerly, that it was before. A Christian is not supposed to currently be holding the ideas of this age. You know, let me say it again. He said, come, you children, listen to me, David said, and I will teach you the fear of God. We need the fear of God. What does that mean? The manner by which God says we should do things. He said, come and go and learn it. Let me take marriage as an example. You go to a place like America, even pastors do it. Bishop marry, divorce his wife on Friday, marry the next wife the following Friday. He said, Pastor Man, you can't judge. In Jesus' name, I'm not judging. But the boy, whether you judge or not, when you see something all over the place, you should know that something is wrong somewhere. It's natural. That is, it's very normal. Interesting enough, I can name, which I will not name for you. All right? Don't ask me, say, Pastor, who are you talking about? I'm not telling you. But I personally know some great ministers in Nigeria who went to America to learn that doctrine. And they teach it to their inner caucus of ministers. That if you and your wife don't agree, you can divorce. It is okay. Listen, a friend of mine was there when they were discussing this. He scattered the meeting. He said, what rubbish. I can't give you details. You'll be angry. But this is the point I'm making. It's called the prince of the power of the air. Derek Prince told a story in one of his messages I listened to. That one man had a prophet. He prophesied that there was a number of activities that Satan was engaged in America then. And he said one of them is going after families, marriages. That's what I was talking about. And the demon that was in charge of that, listen to me, the prince of the power of the air in charge of that was operating from Reno, Nevada. He gave names, not story. Physical manifestation, I'll tell you. Reno, Nevada was the first place where you could get a divorce under 1 hour in America. And the man prophesied it before it happened. That is, the prince of the power of the air in that area is operating from Reno, Nevada. Shortly after you know, the American law is. He said that was the first place in America we could get divorced under 1 hour. You walk into court, say, my Lord, she was my wife. Up till now. But now we're in your presence. I don't want her again. The judge said, you're sure about that? You have two witnesses to witness to this divorce. He said, yes, they are waiting outside. Just sign here. I hereby declare you former husband and former wife. And then they go. I used to have to tell a story. That's Reno, Nevada. That's a particular town in America. And Derek Prince said the prophet had prophesied that the spirit going after families, that's where he's starting work from. So everybody buys the spirit. And you know that spirit is very complicated in those operations. And spirits, they don't work alone. You know, they don't work alone. Jesus said, when you cast out an evil spirit and he comes back, finds his house empty and all of that, what does he do? He goes to gather seven more dangerous spirits. So they work all kinds of ways just to ensure that homes are not built. Let me say something to you. we cannot pray that demon out of the air.
That's the banking.
Yes. You can't. If you like, don't sleep again. It's your personal problem. Don't eat again in the name of fasting. You just die for nothing. That demon is not going anywhere. How do you handle him? Thank you. All you can do is what? Resist. Did you hear what I said? What do? You resist. The way God has done it is that if you guys resist him enough, and there's something about the power of the church. If we say something won't stand, it won't stand. He said, Pastor Dan, what about the many things that we say will not stand, they are standing? Because we never said they won't stand. He said, what do we mean? Because amongst ourselves, we say outwardly, they won't stand. But inwardly, what do? We do the same works that says they should stand. You know what we say outside and what we do inside they are two different things. They are two different things. We say one thing outside. Inside our hearts, we are not really not agreeing. I don't like to say this, but it's the truth. As far as I'm concerned, 50% of those who go to church don't believe in God. In Nigeria of today. At least not in Jesus Christ. They believe in the common God. You know, like a Muslim will believe in him. Like Guru Maharaj will believe in him. Like a Buddhist will believe in God. If he does, I mean. But to believe in the power of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, most people don't. Most people are still more afraid of the traditions of their village than they are of the word of God. Most people would rather walk by common sense and experience than walk by the word of God. That's why we really haven't stood against anything. It's in the nation. Look, you see, God has a way of proving things to us. We have made preachers, governors and stuff like that, and we saw what happened. There was one down the road. There was one up country. The one up country was even the interesting one. You know, this kind of thing that everybody will gather, Father God, thank you, you have put a God-fearing man in office. The church looked and said, God-fearing who? This man is an adulterer. A sitting governor in Nigeria, the church elders excommunicated him. Not because they didn't like him, but because of an adulterer. That's all. They didn't have, that is, they sat and said, listen, bro, you get a girlfriend, and you have a wife amongst us here. And bro did not repent, and the church elders gathered and excommunicated him. I'm talking about the spirit, the prince of the power of the air. You know what he does? He tempts people to do things. What am I saying? You want to cast that spirit out? I'll tell you what you do. It's simple. What you do is resist him and teach righteousness. Do you get my point? And the church will institute rules and regulations amongst itself, amongst its members, on how to behave. When you have done that, after a while, God will tell you, you see that you don't belong here. And then the demon has no choice but to disappear. Please, I hope you are following my point. Now, let's continue reading. Now, it said, amongst them we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That is, it was our nature because of the way we were walking, because of the way we were living. But this is what happened, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, he said, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice that? We are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to bring out here is this, is where we are seated. He said, we are seated with whom? With Christ Jesus, who the Bible also testifies is seated far above all principalities and powers. He's seated on the right hand of God. He said, that's where we are seated. You know what that means? I'm talking about spiritual authority. It means even Satan knows. And if any child of God will not walk according to the order of the world, listen to this, he has no problem as far as Satan is concerned. The devil has no power over him. Do you get the point I'm making? Let's get that clear. We are talking about what is real spiritual warfare. I'll continue developing it next time. The real warfare is about our faith. That we resist all this rubbish that the prince of the power of the air is teaching us in different areas. Let me say it to us again. This existence, in this life we have, there are different spheres. And Satan has a plan for every sphere. And he has a prince of the power of the air controlling the activity of each sphere. When he goes into petroleum distribution, he has something to say. And let me tell you the truth. When you enter there, if I'll give entertainment as an example, but when you enter there as a businessman, whatever it is you want to do, the first thing that will happen is that you will see the temptations of Satan. You will see how to move fast and make money. And you see how to do things rightly according to the order of God, in accordance with God's approval. And it will appear like you will get nothing. Oh, we'll talk about that. Because I said there are two sides to Christian warfare. Do you understand my point? Let me quickly say both of them. The first one is for your faith. So as you move into that kind of place, your faith comes under attack. Serious attack. And you know, this is the interesting thing about God. God will stand back sometimes and be looking. And you say, God, it looks like you don't understand what is going on. And he's standing there and he's watching. You know what he's doing? Satan is trying to wreck your faith by that attack. God is trying your faith by that attack. The two of them are using the same instruments to attain two different aims. Satan is trying to wreck your faith by that attack. God is trying to test it, whether it's real. That's when David starts saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. People say that, the shadow is just shadow. No. What he said is, the Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not just shadow. That is the sphere of influence. That is it. That this a time will come where it will appear that in walking in righteousness, you're about to die. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. That's how it works. Satan comes hard against you. This is the way we do it. Start doing it like this. Bow down to me, I'll give you everything. Turn these stones to bread. Worship me and everything is yours. He said, okay, jump from here and let everybody shout my back here for you. Everything, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it comes after you. I said, the Christian warfare is twofold. The first one, listen, is pure defense. We'll look at it next time. He talked about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, love that. And then we say the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That the sword is the only one that's for attack there. When I was meeting about that, I said it's not true. I found that it's not true. Even that sword is for defense. If all you need to do is watch movie, or this medieval movie, you see, even the sword is for what? Defense. The sword is for attack, I know. Do you understand? But in that context, that sword was for defense. That is, as he's trying to deal you blows, you are blocking. You are blocking with the word of God. With the word of God, you are blocking. That's one Christian warfare. The second Christian warfare is the one in which he says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. In which we are taking kingdoms for God. But you know what I discovered? We'll discuss that next time. We don't have time. What I discovered is this. That God appoints the seasons. The Bible says he changes kings and he installs kings. Do you understand? He decides the time one kingdom will end and the other one will not end. Or when one will end, the other one will start. He weighs one man and finds him wanting and he gives the kingdom over to another person. The Bible says he rules in the affairs of man. What does that tell you? It means that no Christian can take a kingdom by force. None. I'm coming to something. It is God that takes kingdoms. Listen to this. And he says, occupy till I'm ready to hand the kingdom over to you. And he gives you the kingdom based on faithfulness. It's still the same thing. Do you follow my point? That is the way by which a Christian actually really takes kingdoms for Jesus Christ. He said, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And it shall reign forever and ever. How does it do it? The Bible says those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the what? And the what? And the faithful. That is, it's still the same faithfulness with which they doggedly hold on to their faith that God uses to take over kingdoms and hand over to them. It is not as if you will scheme until you have money. Are you getting my point? And you will now build your own big business and challenge the worldly business. No, no. God says, all right, because this is a matter of fact. This is actually how it works. I'll give a few practical examples. I saw on TV many years ago a man, a Christian musician, being interviewed, an American, Native American. And he said when he was a good musician, they wanted to sign him up in the record label. And he said the kind of songs he wanted to sing, the songs he'd be writing. And they told him that this kind of one, you know, they said, you are going to sing about sex, you are going to sing about love, you are going to sing about drugs, you are going to sing about this and that. And he said, I am not singing. And they said, no problem, we are not giving you a contract. And they did not give him. Are you following what I'm saying? Have you ever tuned to Channel O? I don't. It's on my bouquet, I don't. MTV base, I don't. But have you noticed all they do is show half naked and fully naked women? You've not noticed that? You think those girls like their nakedness being shown? No, they get paid for it. You don't know them. You know the name of any bomb shaker on TV. Is the musician, you know the name. Do you understand? The musician himself doesn't show anything apart from Mariah Carey. All right? Why do they all do it? I'll tell you simply. It's called the prince of the power of the air. This is not a matter of chance. It's a deliberate machination from hell. Satan says, this is how we're going to do it. And you see, audio visuals, TV, all right? It has so much power. He said, we have to use it. So he tries to control it. And this is what he does. He baits people. It's money matter. I used to say, look, this is a matter of fact. Go and check it. Sexual healing, what's his name? Marvin Gaye was broke, busted, and absolutely disgusted. Then sang sexual healing, made money, died shortly after. You can say what you like. As far as I'm concerned, these are the arrangements of Satan. You see it. No, these things I'm telling you is not a joke. What I'm telling you is not a joke at all. We can go on. Look, even, what's the name of this guy? This one that doesn't know whether he's born again or not. Well, his mother used to go to church. No, R. Kelly, yes. And the day I read about some of these things, you know the interesting part? It was not even a Christian magazine. I think it was in Time magazine or Newsweek. They were analyzing, you know, you talked about R. Kelly. When he released an album, when things were rough, he released an album because of the youth, according to a magazine, who were high on hormones. And they sold. It's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. That's the way it works. I'm telling you the truth. Go and ask. Even in Nigerian home movies, they don't do that one yet, but the negotiation of sleep with me, I give you a role, is standard. I'm not mentioning anybody's name. I don't know how they got to where they got to. But a lot of the girls just appear one day. All the producers and directors, they can describe her complete nakedness for you. When she's acting for the rest of you to be shouting, you carry their eye, come on, say, why is she still wearing clothes, Seth? That is, what they are seeing is not what they are seeing. What I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But it's interesting, but it doesn't have to be like that. Listen, if you will stand by righteousness, God can give you bigger the kingdoms that they have. In fact, he will give you everything they have committed all kinds of iniquity to get. He will package it and dump it in your hands. The only thing is this. This is how it goes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a point in which you will look like you're dead. That's why, go and read Revelations. All God always says, he that endures to the end. 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 That's what keeps on saying. He that endures to the end. And like I said on radio the other day, if you use the word endure, that means there's suffering. That's why I didn't say, he that endures to the end shall be saved, which is what we try to preach in modern day Pentecostalism. You can enjoy to the end and be saved. It is he that endures. And the word is endure because sometimes it is hardship we are dealing with. You know, it's very common for us as Christians. We like the testimony. Brethren, praise the Lord.
And they said that we should do this. I just said, no, me, I'm a child of God. I will not do it. And then you know what happened? When they were giving everybody one step promotion, I got double promotion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? That is 1 out of 5,000. The other 4,999, they refused and they got nothing. I hope you are getting my point. Obedience to God does not always pay immediately. Let me tell you now, because you've been wondering what is wrong with you. I stood and I prayed. I said, God, I will not agree. That man has been sleeping with all the girls. Me, I will never agree. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, I rebuke him. At the end of the day, you failed. But when they don't tell you the truth now, you think you took the wrong step. Because the only testimonies you heard was the one that God suddenly appeared in an angel. I shall kill you if you try to disturb my daughter. This one, God did not appear. Go and read the Bible. God wrote, I told John, right? Tell them that Satan is about to throw some of them into jail. For 10 days they will be tried. He said, be faithful until death. That's all he told them. I'm not saying that God doesn't deliver you, but after all, he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you understand my point? Yes, he delivers people. He delivers, but I'm not saying he doesn't deliver people. Get me clear. I'm just saying that when you want to obey him, please don't count on the deliverance. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to obey, you know what they said? Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow. If you are counting on the deliverance, you can be sure he ain't going to deliver you. You will die properly. And there are different kinds of death. You can die financially. Do you understand my point? Yes. You can die academically. You can die in business. Employment, you can die. In promotion, you can die. But I should never end it there. Let me say this to you as I close. There is no Isaac that you have slaughtered for God. Do you understand my point? That does not ever rise up again stronger. Listen, this is how God said, Jesus said it. He said, the seed, while it is alive, abides alone. I've said it to you before, maybe different previous messages. There are things you lose. Maybe you're a young woman, you're in school, or a young man, whatever it is. And according to righteousness, you deserve the first class. But because of wickedness of men, they gave you only a third class or a second class lower. I said, that certificate was not lost. He said, where is the certificate? It's in heaven. It's filed on the walls of heaven. Anytime God wants to bless you, he said, that's my first class candidate. On earth, you have nothing. In heaven, God looks at it. He framed it. All the jobs they denied you because it's not play ball. In heaven, the jobs have been awarded. You don't understand the point. That is every naira you lost because of righteousness, resisting sin unto the point of death. Everything is recorded in heaven. Like the way Chiki said to me last time, after he and I discussed some things, he said, I have decided to call it the cost of a good name. That everything I lose under this circumstance, I will write it down. That this is what a good name is costing me. I just bought another good name for 2.5 million naira. A lot of men don't give a damn. They would rather sell a good name for 2.5 million naira. I said I won't be staying very long. Let me just end my message here. We'll continue the discussion next time. The Lord is good.